Well, to finish out the Ten Commandments series, we're going to read from the 10th commandment, but if you know your Bibles, it's nowhere near the last commandment. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Do not desire your neighbor's house. Don't desire and try to take your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, as we pause now in this moment to listen to your voice speaking to us through these scriptures, through this sermon, through the thoughts in our own minds, may we be attentive to your voice. May our ears, our eyes, our minds, and our hearts be open for the word that you have for us, so that we might turn and be healed. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you've had one of those moments, but I'm not sure if it's because I've had kids, but I find myself often distracted when I'm leaving the house in the morning. And so sometimes, like this summer when my wife is home, I'll get my wallet and I'll get my my phone and my keys in my pocket. And a sunny day, I'll get my sunglasses on my head. And then before I'm about to leave, my wife will say something to me. So then I'll, you know, have this conversation with her about that. And then I'll get ready to leave again and I'll start to think, oh, I got to get my sunglasses. It's a sunny day. And I'm like, where did I put those things? And I'll walk into the, you know, the living room or into the kitchen or by the computer. And I'm like, where are my sunglasses? And my wife will say, did you check your head? They're already there. It gets worse than that, folks. When the kids, and I'm during the school year, and I'm trying to take them to school, and I've got them running in different directions, and so I'll grab Soren, the youngest one, and I'll sit him down, and I'll get his shoes on, and then I'll hold him to make sure he doesn't run away, and then I'll chase down Natalie, and I'll grab her and bring her to the door and say, all right, we got to put your shoes on, right? And no, the other foot, right? Get your shoes on, get our coat on, okay, we're ready to go. We just got to find Soren, you know? Like, where is he? This, my friends, I think is a great image for what coveting, desiring is like. It's looking in the wrong place for what you already have. We have in this wonderful story that Preston read to us about the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do? There's got to be something I can do to get eternal life. Really, eternal life meaning something like a good life, a lasting life, a life that will go on. The word actually refers more to quality of life than it does to quantity of life. But we flip that around in our translation of eternal or everlasting life. What must I do to get the good life? And Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. You know them. He says, yeah, which ones? Because he has this deep sense that he's missing something, right? Which one am I forgetting? So Jesus begins to list the second tablet of the Ten Commandments, the ones that guard our relationships with each other. Do you remember what they are, the last six? Can I get a response? Anything? It's a test to see if you've been paying attention. Somebody's looking in their Bible. Cheaters. Well, what's interesting is Jesus actually says here, don't commit murder, but he starts with number six. Don't commit, or number five. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal, I heard. Don't lie. And then he goes back and does number five. Honor your father and mother. And then he omits number 10 and just says, love your neighbor as yourself. And what's really interesting, and some people think that this omission is intentional to draw attention to this one commandment, don't desire or covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. The man says, well, I've done all these. What else must I do? So Jesus says, well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. And the man walks away sad because he had many possessions. Isn't it ironic? He had many things, maybe more than he needed, and yet he didn't have the thing that he really needed. In his book on the Sabbath, Wayne Muller writes that happiness is something that only grows in the soil of time. Happiness is something that only grows in the soil of time. But the problem is, none of us have time to be happy. So we try to do it on the quick or on the cheap. In fact, most of us often turn to the marketplace to be happy. If only I had this thing or that thing, right? If only my house was bigger, my car was newer, my clothes were more in fashion, right? Then I would be happy. But as Muller says, the thing that happens when we do that is we exchange happiness for desire. And our desires can never be quenched. In fact, Tibetan Buddhists have an image for this. They call it the hungry ghost. And it's this ghost with this ginormous belly, but a really small neck. And try as hard as it can, it just can never consume enough to be satisfied. And so Muller says, what we really need to do is to take time and to step away from our desires, to learn to drink and eat what's already been given, to appreciate what we already have, to focus on our abundance rather than focusing on our lack. Because then we might finally be happy. Or as the Joshua Heschel has said, just to be is a blessing. Just to live is holy. Or if that rabbi isn't good enough for you, there's another great teacher from Cool Runnings. Have you ever seen that movie? The coach of the bobsled team from Jamaica is talking to his lead driver of the bobsled, and he's really fretting about the race the next day, and he tells him, you know what? A gold medal is a wonderful thing, but if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it. I like that. One more thing about the Ten Commandments. In the Midrash, which is a Jewish teaching about the commandments, the rabbis will talk about the tenth commandment and speak of it as if you kept the other nine, you'll be keeping the tenth commandment by default. It's the bonus commandment. That is to say, that if you learn how to serve just God, and avoid idols, avoid putting your trust in things that aren't God. If you can learn how to use the name of God wisely and take one day a week and make it holy. If you can spend time with your father and mother the generation before and honor them and find what's weighty and what the good they have to pass along to you. If you can avoid killing, but even more than that, if you can begin to preserve life, if you can avoid adultery, and even more than that, begin to treat your marriage and really faithful, committed relationships as sacred. If you can avoid stealing and lying and be truth tellers, you'll realize you already have everything that you need. And you won't desire what your neighbor has. And then, my friends, you'll finally arrive where God wanted those people that he pulled out of slavery and into the desert, where he wanted them to get the promised land, to be free. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.